Another move. Another negotiation with myself before I give up the cities and towns. Take to the sea and never be heard from again. Another move. I am on my knees, scrubbing my old floors clean, cursing over every dust mote. I used to carry everything on my back. Then people started dying. Then wives and babies came, and I learned to change oil, radiators, learned to listen to the night instead of racing to meet God before she faded in the daylight. Another move. Everything is packed. My books, films, all that the dead left behind that the living didn't want. Another move now, and I'm old. 40. Tired of fighting, but the spirit is willing. Another move, and I'm old enough to have learned the way people speak and act. Old enough to keep my shaggy curls short. Old enough to know what people think of me. Another move, and I don't know how to pack my life. All the times I thank the heavens for birth. All the times I should have died. 40. Old. And I tell you every story but my own. 40. Only 8 years left to beat the old man's record and leave my baby with something of me. 40. And another move into a future that terrifies me. 40. Old enough to know myself, the whining of an engine, when my little girl wants to show me her new project, a report card. 40. Alone and writing this poem. Another move, 40. Younger than my father when he met my mother and left old flat in Liverpool behind. Another move, and I'm old enough to remember sleeping in cars, buses, getting off the late train and walking to my mother's little house, knocking on her door, hanging my pack on her wall, and listening to old stories. Another move, and 40, because I found no one who could think of loving me. The cities change, the hills I drive over change, until I can no longer recognize the sunrise over a new patch of earth. Another move, and I'm sweeping things away, writing this because the time has finally become light. Writing this because now is the time. 40. Too old to be a child. Too myself to know when the work is finished. Another move, and I write this for all the selves I've been. The liar, the drunkard, the coward. The son who is too young and too late to forgive the dying. The husband, the ex-husband, the father who still holds his baby too tight. Another move, and I lay myself flat on these pages, as I am, fearing no man, woman, but God. 40, and I know myself. Another move, but the new day.
All right, so I wrote that poem the day before I moved here to Memphis. I've been in Nashville for 10, 12 years now, and, well, I, 10 years is an extremely long time when faced with age and what happens when you are faced with that, with going out and living your life and surviving and trying to enjoy and making friends and forming relationships, and when those relationships fall apart, either from their own weight or just entropy of the heat dissipating and the world going cold. Or maybe yourself going cold and learning how to get by, and, well, growing up. And I didn't write the poem to complain about being 40. I mean, I know that's not old, objectively. But since I've turned 40, since I'm going into that new decade, a lot of things have come to light of the mistakes I've made, of the chances that I didn't take, the opportunities that I left behind, the opportunities that I let pass me by. And of just seeing myself now as an adult, even though I've been an adult for a considerable amount of time now. My father died when he was 48, and I remember as a kid thinking how old that was. Like that was this old. And the closer I get to that age, the more I realize how impossibly young that is. I mean, 48. And he left behind three little kids. He was 45 when I was born. I lost when I was three. And I mean, he didn't leave anything behind except a few pictures and his old cameras. There was nothing of him that I consider mine. And as I get closer to 48, of reaching his record, I wonder what am I going to leave my daughter? What part of me besides, the obvious, features that come from genetics, what am I going to leave her? What am I going to leave anyone? I'm sitting here in Overton Park in Memphis, Tennessee, and it's a lovely park. And I see all these young people just playing and sitting, talking, walking, holding hands, enjoying themselves, enjoying life. And I realize that for all my travels and all the places that I've been to, I never once stopped to simply just sit at the park and enjoy. I mean, when my daughter was younger, we used to go to the park all the time and play. I mean, we still do, but that's as a parent, that's as the guardian, that's as someone who's always on the lookout for any kind of possible danger. I never once just sat at the park by myself and enjoyed that moment and not caring that time was passing by. See, I've always known that nothing lasts forever. I've always known that, that each moment brings you closer to some end. And no matter what I tried to get out of that mindset, be it, sex or drugs or reading or writing poems or working, I never could never get out of that. I was always conscious of it. And I could never let myself go. Because there was always that sword of Damocles hanging over me. that final blow that will come to every one of us, and that would be it. Game over. Curtain closes. Lights go out in the house. Sun going down for the last time. And the thing is that I've never tried very hard to stay alive. You know, I've put myself in situations where death was probable, that it was most likely going to happen, no matter what. And yet I always managed to get out. I always managed to stumble my way to some solution that I wasn't even looking for. I don't regret any of that. I don't. Sometimes I wonder if I'm here to, I don't know, fulfill some purpose. I mean, the New Agers say that kind of crap all the time. But again, I'm not someone who believes wholeheartedly in things like that. I mean, they make some good points, but when it comes to the actual practicality of living, of these negotiations with the world and who you are in the world, you know, of your ability, your talent, your strength, your weaknesses, yourself. You know, I wrote that poem, as I said, before I moved here, the day before, and things have not gone as well as I had hoped. I thought I had a job worked out down here. I thought to be working today, actually. That has not come to fruition. And I'm staying with my ex-wife, sleeping in a 4-year-old's bed. And tonight I'm cooking dinner and dessert for everyone. I'm making chicken soup and a chocolate pie because they asked me to. Because they like my cooking. But, you know, I don't have any connection here beyond that. I don't have any friends down here. And hell, I didn't really have any friends in Nashville. Especially after they all moved away, or I pushed them away for one reason. One stupid reason or another. And why did I push them away? Expectations. Maybe they didn't have what I was looking for, and so I had no use for them. Or maybe they had no use for me, or I don't know. As I've gotten older, I've learned that expectations are really just not something one should have, because nothing ever turns out the way you want or expect it to. Because it involves other people. It involves being in the world and dealing with that.
know that one shouldn't have expectations, and yet I still have them. I still want certain things, and I still want to accomplish certain things, and I still want
that's how that goes. But either way, my name's Michael. I'm going to call this a show, whatever it is going to be. The Tao of Graham. Graham is my middle name. And no expectations. I make this with no expectations. I make this because it needs to be made for me. And I think that's it for right now.